Now, we do not have minutes for today or from our April 30th meeting yet, so we'll move on to consideration of personnel actions. I would entertain a motion for approval of personnel actions as listed.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We should just do it that way.
For those, yeah.
Okay. We all...
We're good.
We're good. Okay, next consent agenda. We're going to pull item 10.
Yes.
The reason we're going to pull that is it is the resolution is numbered 19.110 in your agenda, but it is really 19.11/111. It's the noxious weed notice, and I was advised that we should just pull it, renumber it, and vote on it separately. So is there a motion to consider the resolution renumbered 19?
Well, let's do the consent agenda first, if you don't mind, and then come back to that.
Okay.
So I would move the consent agenda with item 10 pulled.
Second.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And then I would also move item 10 with the note that it's 19-111.
Second.
Okay. Sanders?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Just trying to fool you.
Keeping us fresh and on our toes.
Okay. Then we will go on to public hearing items. We have no public hearing items. Then the next thing is additional items under 12. And the first one is a consideration of resolution number 19-106 urging the U.S. Congress to enact the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2019. Dr. Irv Kloss, would you like to address us on this? Okay, thank you. We have a copy of the resolution, and it's fairly lengthy, so I think we can skip reading it because it has been posted, if that's okay with you. Good morning.
So you have copies of the resolution?
Yes,
yes.
So there's no need for me to read all those.
No, but maybe no, you don't need to read it. Maybe a brief explanation of what the act accomplishes and why it's important.
Yeah. Okay. This is simply a resolution to urge the United States Congress to enact the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2019. I first heard about this concept of a fee and dividend when I read James Hansen's book, Storms of My Grandchildren. He proposed this in 2009. About 2 years after that, a group called the Citizens Climate Lobby began to attempt to implement it through legislation. It was slow getting through enough votes in Congress to enact, to get it on the floor of the House, which is where appropriations legislation starts. But finally they did. And they've now, this organization has really grown in their numbers of people that are interested in it, and it's been forwarded. Here's what the bill would do. It would drive down the carbon pollution and help bring climate change under control. It is effective. It would be good for people. It would be good for the economy. And it would be revenue neutral. In other words, it would not cause government to become bigger by turning the revenue over to the government. It would come to the people. What it does is to charge a fee. It's not called a tax because it is not money that would be used by the government. You charge a fee at the source of the fossil fuel extraction, either the coal mine, the oil well, the refinery, or the ports of entry, if anything is being imported. It would also have a provision that exports of fossil fuels would not be taxed if the receiving end of that would have also a similar kind of concept, that is a fee assessed on fossil fuels. And many countries are doing this now. It's estimated by the Regional Economic Model Incorporated. That's a private, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. They estimate that 2.1 million jobs would be created in the first 10 years. And the biggest net job gains would be in healthcare, retail, and service organizations. It would estimate that 40% less carbon emissions over the next 12 years. And it would cause, if you want to look at it from the standpoint of how much this would increase our energy costs, they estimate that if a $10 fee is assessed in the charges, it would mean 11 cents per gallon of gasoline increase. Six cents a gallon per therm of natural gas, and 0.9% of kilowatt hours per kilowatt hours is generated by coal. So there is going to be an increase in energy costs to the public, but they would gain if they got this dividend that would come back to them to offset those costs. Farmers would be exempt from the fossil, anything that they would use in terms of gasoline and diesel. They'd be exempt from those costs. So Citizens Climate Lobby is attempting to get support for this bill from various sources, including local governments, and that's why I'm here to in favor of this. Mm-hmm. They have, on their website, have enumerated that more than 200 prominent individuals. They only put people who are prominent. So if I signed it, I would not be on there probably.
Don't kid yourself.
But anyway, more than 200 individuals have signed. There have been 67 businesses that have signed this resolution, 45 churches. Mm-hmm. 22 local governments, and 77 nonprofits, and 15 other organizations. So a total of about 426 names have now endorsed this resolution. So that's why I'm here to ask you to pass a resolution to support this bill.
Thank you. Other questions?
Yeah. I read the bill last night. So, and looked at some of those websites. So I'm confused about why people are saying that there's no money going to the government, whereas I read the bill, the fees are, that would go into the trust are net money that would go to the U.S. Border Patrol, and also there was another government agency to cover the costs of monitoring imports and exports, and then also to do the calculations related to how the refunds would come. So I can't get my mind about you guys saying no money is going to the government.
Right. Yeah, you would need some money to administer the collection of the fees and to administer the sending of the dividends out.
Okay.
But we have those agencies in place. And they're already doing some of that. Internal Revenue Service, for instance, already is in a position to administer the dividends, I think. And it's estimated that that cost would be about 2%. So you would, you know, the net revenue is what we're talking about, 100%
I understand
net
that,
revenue.
But you know me, Irv. So the minute I look at a bold statement like no money goes to the government when the bill
right.
clearly said, okay. So, and I went to like five or six different websites and found that same statement over and over again and found the same talking points, which made me think it's coming from the Citizens Climate Lobby. So I just want to point that out that turned on my criticism of my critique, okay. The next question I have is that the suppositions, it's based on the carrot rather than the stick philosophy, right? That rather than punish people, you're going to charge the fee, but in hopes that they will then create the savings themselves, reduce the carbon themselves, or so that it's not costing them as much. What, though, is the philosophy? The other part of it would be is, why don't they just raise rates? I'm questioning here kind of the philosophy behind it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's a feeling that there would be, I would call them incentives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, incentives.
It urge people to be more conservative in their use of energy, their use of fossil fuels particularly, and therefore they would realize more of a benefit from the dividend that they would get. And so there's a lot of psychology here, mm-hmm. and I think that that's the way that they're trying to propose it.
Mm-hmm. Other questions?
Yeah, and I don't know how much questions I have. Let me start with this. I can't think of anybody I respect more than Irv Gloss. Irv and I clearly don't agree on some issues, but you talk about somebody who, well, we talked earlier with Kerry. If you're talking about somebody who works diligently to leave it better than they find it, regardless of what it is, mm-hmm. Irv Gloss is your man. If you talk about somebody who's willing to put their money where their mouth is, and when I say money, I mean money, and I mean time, and I mean energy and effort. This is your man. You're a role model to me. Again, even though we tend to disagree on our worldwide philosophical view, you're an absolute role model to me. And I have to go one step further and say, I absolutely believe that climate change is real and occurring. I absolutely believe that human activities are at least a major cause of the climate change that we're experiencing. And I believe wholly that we have to do something about it. That said, I disagree that this is the approach to use. It's not a worldwide answer. I think this is penal to any area that signs on to it economically. Loris, I think your questions are right on the money in this. I believe that we're going to solve this, and I do believe we're going to solve this, but I think we're going to do it through technology and innovation. I don't think it's going to be your generation or my generation that solves it. I think it's going to be the generation that's coming after us, and I think it is through their brain power and willingness to work together. But as much as I respect and appreciate Irv, I can't support this, and I just want you to know why.
Well, in answer to that, Rick, if you put this fee on to fossil fuels, it would be a huge incentive mm-hmm. to the fossil fuel companies to become innovative in that technology that you're talking about. So it would be an incentive to them, and at the same time would return dividends back to the people in order to offset that cost.
And Irv, I get the theory, and I understand where you're coming from. I just happen to disagree with it, and I don't trust, I have a distrust of government, and I'm not talking about just the U.S. government. I'm talking about government in general for all of history. I have a distrust of government. I really don't trust some of the other governments that are energy producers around the world who, frankly, don't like us very much. And I view this as an opportunity for them as much as anything. But please don't take that I'm dismissive of the theories behind what you're suggesting. I just happen to disagree that that's the approach.
Okay. I'd like to throw in my two cents here, because I've let the other two supervisors talk. I don't know whether this bill is perfect or not. However, I know I've been driving a lot in the last day on the road, and I've been listening to a lot of radio, and I hear that 1 million species are going to go extinct in the lifetime of some of the people living in this room. The UN has now weighed in on this, and they've said this is a dire problem. I personally am willing to vote in favor of this resolution, even if this is not perfect legislation, because we have to start somewhere, and I want to start with my support today, regardless of how the vote goes.
Yes, I am very, very concerned about the same things that Linda is concerned about, and I know Rick is concerned about also, on this. So I asked my questions that I did, Irv, just to point out that I have some concerns about what's being presented. Now, here's what I like about the legislation that I read, is that in the event that that it's not working, the fee can go up. So it's very, it's tracking what the progress is, and that eventually it could go away. So it appears with the sunset. It's a long sunset, but it's a sunset. I agree with Linda about making a statement. It's not common for the Board of Supervisors to make a lot of statements. So we've already done a couple this year, and but it hasn't been in the past. And I definitely think that climate change itself is one of the most serious ones that we need to make. I would prefer, in a perfect world, I would at least have preferred that the money did not go back to people, but went to innovation and technology, if we were going to charge a fee on that. But between the two choices here, and in the effort to send a message, I too will support the resolution. I will make the motion when it's appropriate.
Are we ready for a motion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 19-106.
I would so move that we adopt it.
I would second the motion. Any further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Sanders?
Nope.
Merkin? Aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you, Dr.
Thanks,
Ross.
Sir.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Next, we have Assistant Auditor Lisa Markley. Consideration of sending the FY19 budget amendment to publication. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Markley, what's going on? You have no idea how much I'm going to miss seeing your smiling face.
I can't even imagine how you're going to get up every morning. I'm going to miss you too, Rick.
I appreciate really. That.
I would like to tell you that when I came here last week, amend this budget, I said we were done, but I lied. We were not done, because the next day, Rick and Linda come to my office and say, hey, guess what we need to do? Mm-hmm. Government never moves fast, except when I'm not expecting it to move fast. So what I am asking for is just an amendment to bring in the StoryCom dollars that we're going to be responsible for and start paying for them yet this fiscal year. That's along with a few minor little things that trickled in also. That's basically what we want to do is amend the budget one more time. The public meeting will be 5/28.
So primarily StoryCom, getting some of the new infrastructure done. We approved, StoryCom board approved the contract with Harris Raycom, and they need to get started working because they've got a limited opportunity to do some of the work on the Iowa State University campus this summer. That necessitates some of the dollars going out yet in this fiscal year. Appreciate you being flexible enough to work with us. It's money that we've already approved receiving. Now it's just a matter of how it's going to outflow.
And it was interesting because I think the day that Raycom or StoryCom met was the day that we had the county attorney in our office talking about going ahead and yep. going forward on the $3 million that you guys had already approved and getting that bonded, getting the bond out on that, and the treasurer was involved. So we are moving forward on that. And I thought, well, let's go ahead and amend it all in.
Any questions?
I'd move approval of the amendment going to publication.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
None.
Sanders?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you very much.
And we'll I'll try not to do any more to you here the rest of the fiscal year.
We promise nothing, really.
That's right. We promise nothing. Perfect.
Okay, now we're going to discuss charges, changes and additions to the audio system in the public meeting room. Barb Steinbeck and Joel Ahrens. Hi, Joel.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
You'll find at your table a couple documents. I'm sorry I didn't receive the one until after the deadline on Monday. But we're at the point where been requested to make some changes, so I thought I would bring it to the board and get your input on it. A little history on the project, if you'll look at the black and white copy. So we started meeting with Marco back in January of 2018, and six meetings later, each time we fine-tuned and added things, and we had, when we came to the board in October to get approval of our final product, we had budgeted $42,000 for the project, and with some of the updates, including that beautiful screen there, the final came to $49,000, and we decided at that time that the video portion of it, that would be that. So the video portion of it was an additional $10,000. We decided to move that off as a phase two project. Oh, that's not the one.
Do you want the first one?
Yes. Okay. So that would be this one right here. We decided to just put that off. So we're at the point now. It was installed several months ago, and we've made several changes. Mm-hmm. We took away the Revo wireless mics. We brought them back. We've tweaked the audio, and I hope you have noticed that it's a lot louder today. The system capability has been raised, and then there are additional controls over at Chris's desk to raise the microphone volume. So we're at the point now where we've been asked to bring an additional gooseneck in and to do some enhancements on the video. So this, the microphone addition, the total would be about $2,500. Now this could be less if, now this is if a technician has to come on site and add the additional microphone and the jacks in the back. If we do the work ourselves and do it via conference, it would be a lot less. So that's the worst case scenario, is the $2,500. The microphone itself is like $230. So it's not an expensive thing. It's the installation that's expensive. So then if you go down to, then, so that's the one piece of it, is the additional microphone. So then we have the recording issues we've been encountering where the audio on the video camera is not picking up and they've had to paste it in. So the first option, if you can see it right there, so this would be just adding a wireless microphone. We've looked at options like running cable and putting additional speakers in, and the vendor felt that a wireless speaker over in that area would be the best, attached right to the camera.
And what's that cost?
Yeah. Is this, it goes over to page two, right, for the 11,000?
Yeah, it's this part. It's the two.
So this 11,000, just to be clear, this is the option you're saying that would put wireless into the camera? That seems expensive. I just want to make sure I understand what is being added.
I'll let Joel talk about it.
Thanks, Joel. Okay.
Well, it looks like, and I just saw these documents this morning, it looks like this $2,948 is what they're looking at to just get audio from the system over to the camcorder.
Right, right.
Correct. There's a couple of options on here as far as adding fixed cameras. Mm-hmm. And that's where your $11,000 right there comes from.
That would be cameras.
Yes.
Right.
And that's this,
yeah.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Keep going, Joel. Kind of responding.
And you said you worked with Marco, and this option right here would be a single camera that would turn and focus on the person speaking to give you the option of having one camera versus two, so that whomever's doing the presentation, the camera would automatically turn, focus in, and record what's being said. That's in contrast to the first solution that was put forth with that, where they had two cameras, one being fixed over here to capture this area in front of the board and the screen, and then one in the back of the room that would capture the board.
Okay.
And so then the idea behind that was, is when you set up the meeting, you could say, I either want to capture the board, I want to capture what's being presented, or I would like to capture both side by side.
Joel, and I'm sorry, I got lost because I can't read the numbers. So as
okay.
You were going this option, that option. So,
sorry.
Okay, so how it's presented to us on our sheet here, all right, which I believe is the same. So we've got a microphone ad, which we already talked about, then yep. option one installed solution that is $11,000 are two movable cameras with audio installed.
The $11,000 one is the single camera that will turn and focus on whomever's speaking.
Single to turn. Okay.
It has the PTZ capability, panoramic tilt zoom built in, with presets so you can have it focus on the speaker. So whoever's talking, the camera would go to that person. Mm-hmm. Or you can preset it so it just shows the screen, and then the audio would pick up the person speaking.
Okay, one. And then option two then.
That was option two. The camera.
Oh, so my option two has a $2,900 one. That's why I'm confused.
Yeah, and, okay. and that's how the Marco is. Yeah, you're reading how the PDF has yeah, it, which sorry. Is fine.
Well, that's all I have.
Option
so.
Two, yep. Option two for the camcorder audio add-on is $2,900. And that's using the existing camera and taking the audio out of the system and getting it over to it.
This is the option I thought we were getting from the very beginning.
Okay.
All right. So just thank you, just
yep.
to clarify. All right. So then what about then on our back of our PDF, we've got a couple more here. Final page of our printout. It says, quote, summary, one-time expenses.
And you're looking at the microphone ad.
I think that's looking at the one single plus the one time.
It would be, so the top one, the microphone ad, so that's a separate project, that would be $2,500. So then if you look at the option one installed solution, that's the camera with the panoramic zoom. And then option two would be just enhancement of our current video camera that's on the tripod.
Okay.
So there's three choices. You would choose either the microphone or option one or option two.
So, but if just for me, back to option two, it appears back it's the $2,948,
yep.
which is just the camcorder to have the audio,
right.
which, like I said, is I thought we were getting all the way through this process. That does it also have a one-time charge, or is this something we can do ourselves also?
That's a good question. Like I said, I just saw this morning. I haven't talked to Marco. It would depend on where it ties into the system. We could ask them. If it requires recalibration of the equipment in the cabinet, it probably would need Marco, just because we're not familiar with how to go in there and recalibrate the DSP. If it's just, you know, plug connector A into slot B, you know, plug this into the camcorder type of thing, then yes, we could probably handle that. But I'd want to get more information from Marco before I could give you a definitive yes no on that.
I'd like that, to get more information. Also, I guess, because I sure would hate to have to pay $2,500 for them to come all the way back up to put this in, when that fee would have been included had they done the installation at the same time. But that it's, we've done a great job,
sure.
I think, of taking, since it was installed in January, taking the system as a whole and doing those fine tunes, identifying where things had to be tweaked. Okay. But this ends up being the major problem still left on the table. It's where we're getting the complaints about people from not being able to hear, and we know part of that is never going to get fixed because it depends which particular technology device they're watching from and listening on. We know that. But so this to me is the part that I personally feel is missing. As we had discussed back in January, back was December, whenever we first
approved
in October, thank you. We had discussed that we're a long way from having someone to maneuver those one or two cameras, that having that technology would basically be unused in many situations because we don't have a full-time audiovisual employee and are not anticipating having one for a long time. So that's where I stand on this.
But that's the beauty, Loris, if you go with the option where you have the camera that automatically turns itself to where where things are coming from. I'm not going to be here for the decision on this. I agree that we need more information than we have right now in order to make a good decision. I would just encourage you this, and sadly, this is something that I've been talking about for 9 years, and we never have quite gotten there. It is time for us to be moving to being able to broadcast these meetings live. Mm-hmm. There's enough interest. There's enough going on that it's worth us figuring out how to let Irv Kloss come and give his presentation, and people who can't make it over here can pull it up and watch it, and we don't have that capability right now. So I would just encourage you. It looks to me like the $11,000 solution, which I think has almost $4,000 in Marco fees, which I view as at least negotiable in do they have to do everything they're talking about doing, looks like the option that would allow us to start to think about moving toward live broadcast. I hope you guys will consider all that as you go.
Thanks for your input.
So let me ask a question or two here. And I was not on board when this whole package was adopted, so I'm probably the person who knows the least about it. What are we talking about right now? How much money to spend, and what do we get out of it?
Well, I mean, of the options that you've got available to you, like Rick said, there's a camera option that would replace the camcorder that sits in here, which is just a consumer camcorder, like you go to Best Buy and pick up.
Okay.
One of those camera options would be a camera that would sit in the room. It would focus on whomever is speaking. So the person that's actively speaking, it's going to automatically turn and focus and record them.
So that's $11,000?
That's an $11,000 option. When it was originally proposed, there was a proposal to have two cameras in the room, one in the back, one on this wall, to capture the board area and to capture the screen area. When you sat down to set up your meeting to record, you'd have three options. You could pick one camera, the other camera, or you could pick a combination of both.
Okay.
And it's basically doing the same thing, except it's not turning to focus on whomever's speaking.
Okay. And what do we use this for besides recording board meetings?
That camcorder?
Mm-hmm.
It can be used for the wellness meetings. It can be used for any county function that someone needs to check out a camcorder and record. So.
Okay.
I know Veterans Affairs, I think, has used it before.
Do we need this fancy camera that moves around all the time to see whoever's speaking
to do those things? If you want
to
get to where Rick's talking about and you want to stream something, you're going to need a camera that ties into the system that will eventually be able to get to whatever appliance will stream that out onto the Internet for interactive viewing.
Well, that has...
that's not that camera.
That has been some debate. It's not that camera, but there has been some ongoing discussion back and forth, I guess, about how much technology does it really take for us to be able to stream our meetings live. If we want the capability that, in fact, that Ames has, well, that includes a technician.
Sure.
However, there are some intermediates. I've asked the question several times at the board table, why can't we Facebook, or why can't we do this? And I certainly would love to pursue this discussion further as far as our abilities to stream live. And I would. We could always bring that back. But for right now, we've got a technical problem in that the outreach staff, they are literally taking the audio that is being recorded by the clerk and having to then fit it into the video, because that camera is not able to, in a quick fix, plug into the speakers. Plug into the microphones.
How many people do we have watching these meetings?
Depends what's going on the meetings. We can go as low as 15, 25.
Do you know how many people watch a range?
Depends on if it's the Loris and Rick show or not.
I know.
Well, let's
see. Being a little lighthearted about
it. Let's just, Leanne, do you ask me?
It can vary anywhere. I think our highest, it was around 1,000 views. It does depend on the dialogue that occurs at the board's table, but anywhere from 20 to 30 views on a weekly basis. Actually experienced a bump this year over the past couple of years.
Okay.
So I guess that's a fundamental question for the board, too, mm-hmm. because primarily this is used to feed our YouTube channel. Is that a direction the board wishes to meet?
And we also have audio. That's available on the website if somebody wants to go back and see what happened in a meeting or what, you know, so what is the, my question is how much the camera, which is quite a bit, you know, how much the video really adds.
What the video does add as an enhancement is we've been able over the past year or so to incorporate the presentations that are given to staff or whomever into the video. We embed them in Brian's video too, so you can go back and you can get a sense of not only what's being said, but what's being shared.
But they're the same presentations that are attached to the agenda and are always available because we leave the agendas up, correct?
Okay. Yes.
I'm just wondering. Okay.
And, I mean, there is a considerable amount of time in the development of the video. I'll be spending the rest of the afternoon doing the video. So accounting for staff time should be something
to go. Okay. I support where I think the vision is down the road from a communication with our transparency and communication with a group of our citizens that are receiving their information via the internet. And so I'm supportive of that vision. It is always the balance, but I do feel we're providing a good transparency tool with providing video.
Yeah, we're providing great transparency after the fact.
After the fact.
What we're not providing is the ability for individuals who can't be here for whatever reason to follow something in real time. And if you draw the timeline out far enough, I don't know how far, but if you draw the timeline out far enough, we're going to get there. The question for you guys is, when are we going to get there and what are you going to be willing to commit to us to it to get us there?
Correct. And so I agree that a discussion about that with a new supervisor coming in would be the long-term decision on that. And it sounds like we're functioning, we're limping along now, so we certainly don't have to make a decision today, especially with back to my request, and I heard Rick state too, that I think we need some more information. It sounds like this Marco information came in very late, so turnaround down in IT wasn't even as much lead time.
We were asked to put it on the agenda today. We did not have enough time. We just met with Marco last week, and Joel's been on vacation a couple days. Just a couple things to think about, and I'm not sure what you're thinking today, but this money has not been budgeted for any improvements or additional enhancements to the system, and just keep in mind that anything we do with the cameras is only for what happens in this room. It's not for meetings that the video camera may travel to in other locations. And also, Marco has a 60 to 90 day lead time on their projects right now.
Barb, if you and Joel were to go back and we put this back with a new person sitting up here in the third seat, and you also went back and addressed my ongoing question one more time about what could we provide with streaming if we were doing live. Now, during this budget year, I believe that we approved a new iPhone for conservation, and also they're purchasing a streaming service, and I believe it was $40 or $50 a month for them for unlimited streaming. And I still have that outgoing question: how can we do that for conservation and not seem to do it for the rest of the county? And I'd like to know, can we do something like that so we can have streaming of a Board of Health meeting, or, you know, that. So if you put those,
I'm not
so
sure what
that
vendor they're working with. One of the problems you run into live broadcasting anything, and things you'll see on TV, they aren't exactly live. They have like a 3-minute delay, mm-hmm. so they can cut out if somebody swears or sneezes or whatever. And that would involve then a dedicated technician to handle that and to be able to cut it as it's being recorded. I'm not sure what service conservation is using. We weren't consulted on that.
Okay, so I want to turn, I think, out to Alyssa here and ask, because conservation does have some autonomy on that. So, Alyssa, is IT an area where they also have autonomy, per your understanding, to be able to have done that without consulting our IT? Because I like what they're doing. I will tell you, I like that they've done that. I hear what you're talking about, Barb. That is a big fear always.
Well, I think, too, what you...
They're not... My understanding is they're not using, like, the IT network or anything like that. They just got a cell phone service, and they're just streaming it through an iPhone.
Yes, but we're paying for that. I mean, we allocated the money for that. So that's why I'm asking, at some point, where's the connection here between what they are doing... and the fact that we are using the taxpayer dollars, general fund dollars, to pay for it. So I'm asking, where's the connection so that we can explore where our connection would be if we wanted to do the same thing?
So if the Board of Supervisors wants to purchase an iPhone, have service, and stream the meetings live, I think they
can do that right
now. That's what conservation is doing.
In fact, I can stream you live yeah. right now if you want me to.
Yeah,
we have the ability to do it. It's a question of what we're going to put into it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the other thing I do want to bring up when we're looking at this, if you look at the option to go with the camcorder, my only question is, if that camcorder goes bad, is there another? Are there more fees? Will that work with a different camcorder, or is it specific to the one that we currently have? So, I mean, if you're going to invest $2,900 to get the audio to the current camcorder, my only question is, if we replace that camcorder, will that wireless option still work with the new camcorder, or are there additional, you know, tweaks and stuff that we're going to have to make? So, I mean, when you're looking at this, I would suggest we look at a solution that is going to last, and we're not back here at the table in 6 months if that camcorder goes bad.
Well, so. And that was where we started last year, mm-hmm. or, you know, in the hopes that we would be looking at a solution that would last and that we would be able to add on to. So I know where my preference would be, but I'm one of three.
I think you need more information.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think Joel and Barb, I'd say, is.
There's some things to add, too. When you're talking about streaming from a cell phone, the camera and microphone are built into the device. You're just taking what's there, like Rick said, of an iPad, and you're feeding it out to a service on the Internet. You're not taking this many microphones, a projector, and multiple angles and trying to do that.
Correct.
When you increase that complexity, you can't just do it with a simple app service. Going to have something that combines all that stuff together and then provides that as a feed out of the Internet. So it's a heck of a lot more complex when you're talking about a room like this, and it is just taking what's on your phone and streaming it out there.
Which is what, and we did talk about that complexity when we were meeting
right.
with the two vendors and asking for quotes.
But that's
right?
how they're able to easily do it with a phone. Because right. it's one camera, it's one microphone, all that built into the phone, they're just live streaming. And typing
so possibly the discussion is short-term and long-term.
Right.
All right.
And as far as Alyssa's concerned, we would look at what they're going to hook into that camcorder. Our assumption is this going into what's the microphone jack on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common jack. We would need to make sure that a replacement camcorder would have that. So going forward, it should be able to work with a different brand of camcorder without the issue.
Okay.
And another thing to add on, just because we've had some confusion on these discussions, the camera options that we're putting in here get you closer to streaming, but they do not provide streaming. You would need additional hardware and additional expense beyond that to get to that point. It does get you a step closer. It does get you the equipment you would need to stream eventually. Mm-hmm. But that's not part of either of these
parts. Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. More information. I guess I gave kind of my top priorities here. And the top priority is to get us an option where the audio is going to a camcorder.
Okay. Do you feel like you have sufficient direction here?
Could you just tell me bullet points? What do you need more information on? So the audio option.
Well, as pointed out in what you've got here, it seems like one option is to fix our immediate problem. The $11,000 option is to fix our immediate problem plus offer opportunities in the future.
but we want to know exactly from a streaming standpoint. Then I guess the next question would be, if the next goal would be, could we stream meetings and using better technology than an iPhone and an account, then what would that be? Which is almost takes us right back around to where we started here back when we started discussions.
So what's the next step then? Do you want a solution that just addresses that, or do you want a brand new proposal that includes the option for streaming?
My thought is we need to address the immediate problem, because we do not know when a new full board would make the decision economically about taking that next step into the big streaming. So that's my prep. I think where we need to go first is let's fix the problem we thought we had fixed.
The immediate problem with the audio and video on the camcorder. Looking at these options, then, do you just want more information as to how we could maybe reduce costs? Is that what you're looking at?
That would be one of them. Is do they have to come here? Is it going to cost us $29 plus another $25?
So I think, from my perspective, it's simply you having a little bit of time with the – I know it was rushed getting it on this agenda. You having a little bit of time with these proposals, digging into what each one really means so that you can come back before the board and talk through, this is exactly what each one of these means. This is what we expect it's going to cost us. Then the board can make an informed decision. Today it feels like you're just giving us, hey, this is the first proposal we got. We haven't had time to dig into it yet. I think the direction is dig into it.
As far as the microphone is concerned, we did dig into this morning, and I got them all to lower the professional services. They were charging $3,400 coming from Minneapolis, and I told them my expectation was that we would be dealing with technicians from Des Moines. So they did reduce that by over $1,000, and they said they weren't sure how much more they could reduce it depending on how much professional assistance we could offer. So that one, I think, is pretty set. There's not a lot we can do with that.
And that microphone is?
Just an additional gooseneck.
An additional gooseneck there.
Right. To replace the square wireless.
Yeah. So can we go ahead with that individually without addressing the rest of these items right now?
What happens if they have to come down then again or come up from Des Moines again for the other one, which the problem is with the video?
I think they're giving us a service break on these. I think they're treating each one separate.
Right, but that would be a question I would have. If we have them come one time and do the whole thing,
what's
the real cost?
Right.
Is the problem with that microphone, that's not something that's huge right now? I mean, it would be good to have it fixed, but we can live with what we've got right there?
I think the tweaking that they made with the system has improved it a lot,
okay.
So perhaps that isn't quite as pressing as it was when we got the quote originally.
Okay. Right. Okay. It seems to me that we're also talking, and this is just me, the first time on this issue. I also hear, well, long range, we might want to do something different, which is a live broadcast. I have some pause in putting very much money into a solution with cameras right now when we may be doing something different on down the road. I don't see huge benefit for us for having the supervisor meetings video, you know, going out on videotape. I know transparency, but I also hear not many people looking at it. And I know sometimes the people who are looking at the videotapes are me, another supervisor or staff person, you know, trying to figure out something that happened in a meeting, and we want more detail maybe than is in the minutes. And the minutes are fine for most things, but sometimes somebody wants to go back and hear a comment or hear some detail. We have an audio. I'm at this point saying I would like to see more of where we might go in the future and what that looks like before we spend, you know, too terribly much money on getting, you know, and I'd personally be fine with taking the video down rather than having a lot of staff time working on it right now. It's my first time to comment on it, so I wanted to get that out there.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing maybe a preference, going back to our conversations when we got into this and we were discussing last year and meeting with, and we had put forth all of our wishes, and that's kind of where we came up with the 49,000 start, correct, Joel? All right. So I think I may have heard Linda ask for an update or maybe just some better understanding of where we were at that $49,000 quote, where the two vendors came in, because that was the technology base that we had kind of set for them, so that going forward. Would you like that in maybe they could come back and give a presentation for us to bring up to date?
I'm willing to meet with Steph individually for my own personal information on this to get me up to speed and looking at it. I'm willing to take time and, you know, rather than doing a board meeting unless somebody else wants that, I'm willing to just meet with Barb and her staff and get my questions answered.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Want to do that? Okay, welcome that opportunity. Okay, so we just stay where we are for now and not spend any additional taxpayer monies unless they're absolutely necessary for functionality at this point. I'm a little concerned about Leanne spending all this time to have to sync up the video and the audio. How long's that taking you?
3 hours.
More than you'd like to think about, right? And I know you're behind on a lot of other things that are very essential right now because of this, and I don't like... Let's let Leanne get to the mic.
Couple months, Matt has been doing the video.
Okay.
100%. Today and tomorrow is me doing the video. I have not had full of the audio, so I can't tell you how much time it's going to take me. It's not, I think I can do it without an inordinate amount of time, but I have, he gave me very clear procedures to follow, so.
Okay.
It will take some time to render the video today, so.
And I'm wondering, with the audio improvements, maybe you won't have to do that today.
We might be able to.
Yeah, just listen to it and see.
That'd be great.
That would be okay. Fantastic.
So the problem may be solved, we just don't know.
Yeah. Well,
correct.
We haven't
listened to it.
Okay. Well, let's see if the problem's solved then before we create some other ones, I guess. Is everybody okay with that? I'll find some time this next week to come down to IT and get myself brought up to speed.
I'm okay from this, except for I still would like staff to look into what we've mentioned and that about the different prices, and you'll go down and educate yourself. So I have not given up on the idea about a new board, I guess, asking for a third board member to discuss where they might want to see technology go in the future.
Okay.
So I would still ask that staff answer those questions. Whether they need to bring them back to the board will depend on when we get a new board member, I guess.
Yeah, so you've got some time to let this settle in for yourselves and maybe suggest some more direction to us, because you know how other staff are using this system also.
Or want to use
or part or of might, it. Or might have some good uses for it. So I'm looking towards you folks to do some more analysis for us rather than us doing the analysis up here as the decision makers. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yes, if we can find a solution that meets your expectations, that would be great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Anything else?
Mm-mm, good.
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next up, we have Amelia Schoeneman with a resolution for Robinson Subdivision Agricultural.
And I'm going to go now so I'm not disruptive to Amelia. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amelia, what do you have for us today?
Okay. That owns the parcel that was previously divided, parcel B, will will inherit the east half, and the other person will inherit the west half, and that will be equitable, and then both will also have road frontage rather than having one landlocked in the current configuration. So they're basically just being reconfigured, and they will use this existing access on lot one. These aren't development lots, they're ag subdivision lots. We're encouraging them to have access easement, but it's not required. They're currently in row crop production, as you saw from the aerial photo, and they will remain in row crop production, which is in line with our future use designation of agricultural conservation for the area. All surrounding properties but the single family dwelling to the south, which again is occupied by the future owner of lot two, are in agricultural production as well. We are only a half mile from the city of Colo, and so within a half mile there are a couple parcels owned by the city of Colo inside the city's boundaries, but otherwise there are 54 parcels and only 7 contain dwellings. So it is predominantly an agricultural area. Here are the requirements for an ag subdivision plat. Go through those few questions. We routed this on April 2nd for review. County engineer just noticed if they didn't need to do a new driveway, then they were planning on sharing a driveway. That would require a permit. We had just questions to ensure that the future use was for agriculture. And we sent notice out to property owners within a quarter mile on April 30th. The city of Colo also took action last night as a city within 2 miles, and I checked this morning and they did approve.
Okay.
So with that, again, the goal is just to divide 2 agricultural parcels, which will be continued to be used for agricultural purposes, to execute an estate and ensure equitable size parcels in that division. There aren't additional divisions permitted in an agricultural subdivision plat unless the entire subdivision is considered for platting purposes. All requirements for an agricultural subdivision are met. They will be sharing an access. So we recommend alternative 1, approval of resolution 19-110 for the agricultural subdivision, Black Robinson subdivision. If you have any questions, I'll answer those.
Questions? None. Looks, once again, another straightforward subdivision here. I would move approval of resolution 19-110. The agricultural subdivision plat, Robinson subdivision, as put forth in SUB 05-19.
I second the motion. Any discussion?
None.
If not, Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Resolution is adopted. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And now we are to discussion and consideration of appointments to the Commission of Veterans Affairs as follows. An unexpired term ending June 30th, 20, Allie Wilcox, and a 3-year term ending June 30, 22, Nick Prisigno. And interviews were held. I believe we had 6 interviews. We had 7 applicants and 1 withdrew. And those are the people that I thought would bring the most to this. And I think their information was attached to the agenda. So I would entertain a motion for appointing them to the VA Commission.
I would move as presented.
Okay, second. Discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. They're appointed. Mm-hmm. And I did just yesterday receive a resignation from one other person who's on the Veterans Affairs Commission, but we will need to post that position and interview.
Oh, we will.
Okay. Yes. All yes, right. Kay Gregory has decided that she will not be able to serve, so the position she was going to take will be posted.
Are we going to be able then, is she resigning immediately? I guess backing up is
yes.
Okay. So will we be able to appoint Allie and Nick right away and timely entry? Okay.
Good morning, and I apologize.
Good morning.
I was just out in the hallway there. We can proceed with appointing the 2 individuals that are on the agenda today or for those vacancies. I talked with Ethan Anderson this morning, and he is recommending since the appointment that Kate currently has and is resigning from wasn't part of the posting with these positions, that we would have to post that one separately and go through the process. And from a timing perspective, when I reach out to those individuals who we interviewed, I can let them know we have another opening, and if they are interested in pursuing that, then we'll just pull their applications and keep those in the application pool.
Great, thanks. But as far as filling, okay, but can these two, Allie and Nick, or one of them be appointed early, was my question.
So Allie's appointment is an unexpired term that has 1 year left, and so her appointment would be effective immediately.
Okay.
Nick's is an appointment that would start July 1st because it would be replacing an individual who is not seeking another term.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Cool.
Okay. And we did take a vote, didn't we? Okay.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Deb.